my great pleasure today to welcome Travis from ebugout.com. Travis, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Not too bad. It's my co-host's birthday today.
Yes, it is. Turn the big 3-7 today.
Way over the
hill. Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Now, why don't we just start out, who is Travis from eBugout? Tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got started.
Okay, well, I've been into programming here for about 6 years, and actually eBugout started as a school project, believe it or not. I had to do a website for software engineering, and I wanted to create something that I'm passionate about, so I started with a survival website and then kind of adapted it into a survival blog, and then kind of asked myself, well, you know, a lot of people have survival blogs out there. What can I do that's kind of unique and turn this project into something different? And I realized I had been quite frustrated that there was no way online to create a custom bug out bag. And I said, well, you know, Amazon has an API. Why don't I create this? So that's kind of how it started. It took me a little over, I'm kind of estimating 6 to 8 months, you know, obviously around a full-time job and going to school full-time. So, you know, some hours I got 20 hours in, some weeks I got 20 hours in, some weeks I got 2 hours in. But it did take me a fair amount of time, and we launched in June of this year. So, you know, we've been live for about 5 months now. And we're really excited to, you know, share it with the community, and we're getting a lot of feedback, and, you know, we love the feedback that we're getting from people.
Awesome. I've checked out the site, and that was a weird, feedback there. yeah, so I like what you're doing, but for the two listeners out there that have no idea, tell us what a bug out bag is.
Okay, so a bug out bag is basically a collection of items. You can survive for, you know, 72 hours is kind of the idea. A bug out has a lot of terms. They kind of are loosely, you know, phrased in the community. You know, bug out bag, get home bag, 72 hour kit. It goes by a lot of different names. They do fulfill slightly different purposes, but for the most part, 90% of the contents inside across all of them are the same. That's why they kind of, you know, carry a loose terminology. But that's basically what it is. It's a means to, whether there's a disaster or whether you just need something to rely on, everything in that bag, if your life depended on it, you know, you should be able to survive 72 hours, you know, assuming you don't encounter a mountain lion or something like that. I mean, for most intents and purposes, you're going to last 72 hours at least with the contents inside, easily.
Excellent.
Now, a lot of I've seen other sites out there making like pre-made, you know, selling pre-made bug out babs or bobs. And so what sets yours apart?
Well, what my vision on eBugout when I created it was, I know that there's a lot of pre-made bug out bags out there, and what I didn't like about that was, a lot of times the pre-made ones are of cheaper quality. You're going to get a lot of Chinese imported goods. Not to say that everything Chinese is crap, because it's not. There is some good stuff out there, but you know, what you don't want is you don't want to go online and say, you know, purchase bug out bag, and oh hey, there's one on Google for $99.99. You're going to throw that away in 3 months because you're going to realize that nothing in there is even worth keeping. That's a very, very bad route to go. Now, the quality ones online that you do find that are prepackaged, I don't necessarily have any problem directly with what those companies are doing. I get why they're doing it for convenience. But the fundamental issue with that is that a bug out bag is a collection of items that appeal to you. You can't. A bug out bag is something personal for each individual. You can't create a perfect bug out bag for a vast majority. It's impossible. So people are made in different shapes and sizes. Some people are taller, some people are shorter, some people can carry more weight, some people can't. You know, you got to let people choose each item for their circumstances so it'll work optimally for their purposes.
Yeah. With the Chinese thing, like, I know a lot of pre-made kits I've seen will have junk in them, like the tree saw with the two little like key rings on them that, you know, break as soon as you pull them out of the package. But on the flip side, though, so one time at a gun show here in Nashville, I saw what I thought was a real K-bar knife. So you know, I asked them how much for the K-Bar, and they're like $25. And, you know, before I even, like, looked at it, when I heard the price, I basically had my money, like, in their face. I'm like, shut up and take my money.
Right.
And when I got home, you know, I was looking at it and noticed, you know, stamped across the Tang was made in China. And I'm like, oh, fuck this thing. So basically at that point, when I realized it was fake, it was my life duty to break it. I went out batoning, like, logs, half of trees. Like, I did everything I could to try to break this cheap piece of crap knife, and I couldn't. I mean, not only did it not break, but, you know, after months of, like, beating the hell out of it, it was still sharp.
Right.
So sometimes you get lucky with the Chinese crap, but, you know, rule of thumb, usually I wouldn't trust at all.
Right.
You know, and speaking of knives, what kind of knives would you recommend? Like, what's your favorite?
Well, you know, I've used a fair majority of, obviously, eBug Out, we own every product we recommend. So that's something that a lot of people don't know is we have a very, very high cost on our end because I'm not going to recommend anything to anybody unless I've personally held it and tested it. So we own every single product on our website. So we've handled all these knives. I would say for fixed knives, I would go with the K-Bars. You know, it's really down to personal preference whether you want a you know, the Becker BK2 is a really solid, hefty knife. It's not as long as the other knives, but it's you throw it off a mountain, and if you can find it, it'll still be in one piece. So that's like a indestructible knife. That's what's nice about that one. The K-Bar fighting knife, obviously, that's been used in the military for, I don't know, 40, 50 years or something like that now. So that's a pretty solid choice as well. As far as the fixed knives, I actually lean towards the Smith & Wesson. I've been carrying it on me, and I love it. It's got a seatbelt cutter on it. It's got a glass breaker on it, and it flips out no problem. And I haven't had any problems with it at all. So I personally actually lean towards some of the Smith & Wesson stuff. Now, I know that there are some knife snobs out there that won't agree, but, I mean, for personal use and different things, I like the Smith & Wesson. As far as quality, we have a CRKT knife on the site that's a folding knife, and that one is really nice. It's got a double safety mechanism in it, so you can't fold the blade unless you do two actions to it. So it's nice and solid in your hand. That's also a really nice knife. You know, everything on our site we've tested. So, I mean, you can't make a wrong choice on eBug Out necessarily. You know, if you're kind of on the fence between a couple of products, read our review. Every product on our site has a review. Read it and see, you know, if it appeals to you. And if it doesn't, send it back. You have 30 days to, you know, basically as long as you don't break it in half, you know, send it back to the seller on Amazon and, you know, get your money back. So, if you end up not liking a product, just, you know, there is a refund policy as well.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. That's something I wasn't expecting at all. And I'll be honest, I personally haven't been to your site yet. I've just had James telling me a lot about it. And now, getting back to the Bug Out bags themselves, now, do you have, like, different kits to choose from that you would start off with, like, you know, like mini kits or, I mean, just, I mean, how do you go about that? I mean, like, say I went on there, how would I go about getting started?
So the right now, all we do is Bug Out bags. Now, we are looking to branch into other markets like everyday carry and stuff like that, winter clothing, summer clothing, all that stuff. We're planning on doing that. But like I said, we have a very high cost to test all these products, so we can't go there quite yet until we get a little bit more support from the community. But if you go to eBug Out right now, the first thing you're going to see is you're going to see the homepage, and you're going to see the banner flash up that says we've been recommended by Practical Preppers. And then right there in that homepage, it says, you know, build your bag. So if you click on that button, it's going to take you to our Build-A-Bag tool. Now, across the top, there's going to be several categories that you can choose from. I'm actually just going to navigate there right now quick. There is water, fire, tools, food, medical, shelter, accessories, and backpacks. Okay. Each one of those is going to walk you through the steps. And there's a couple different ways to navigate the site. Across the top, you can do it that way. You can also do it in the sidebar, and you can actively see as things are adding to the cart and what's missing and what's not. And if you click on a missing link in the sidebar, it's going to automatically take you to that category so that you can fill that product. We also added into the sidebar a little gear icon that when you select that and hover over it, a little tooltip pops up that says, I already have this item. Some people were complaining that, hey, I already have a water bottle, I already have a filter, I already have a lighter, and I really want to get to that 100% that you track on your website. And, you know, I don't want you to make me buy it. And I said, okay, well, so I went in there, and, you know, it took me like a few days or whatever, and I coded that in because, you know, it was important to some people. So, you know, they really want to see that 100% before they check out. So that is another feature that we've added. But we walk you through every single step of creating a bug out bag. I mean, if you've never created one, this is a tool that's really designed to help you get from you know, A to B. You're gonna have it shipped right to your door. And what I recommend for people that are beginners, a lot of people that are beginners, you have friends that are in the survival or prepping, you know, industry, market, whatever you want to call it. Call upon them. You know, what another thing that we do is if you're a beginner and you customize a bag on eBugOut and you're not quite sure, you know, I really want to get my friend's opinion on this before I, you know, actually hit that checkout button. Hey, we know that, you know, a $300 bug out bag is a big purchase for some people. Now you can get up even higher than that, but you know, that's a lot of money to spend and we want to make sure you're happy. So if you click on the little home icon up in the top, there's a share your cart button. And what that does is it'll create a URL, a bit.ly URL that you can actually send in an email. If you click on share your cart, it'll actually come up and it'll give you email, options to share through Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, or through email. If you click on that email form, you can send it right to your friend and say, hey, this is the bag that I chose or that I configured. Check it out and let me know what you think. And as soon as they get that link, they click it. And now on eBugOut, they see exactly what you see.
That's pretty awesome.
So that way you can get direct feedback from your friend that you trust and they can look over the items and say, well, you know, I saw that you chose a folding knife. I prefer a fixed knife just because it's more durable, you know, less moving parts and things like that. You know, I have a big hiking background, so it really depends on your bug out plans though. You know, it depends on how much you're really planning to rely on this kit and what your purposes for it are, because if my purposes are to get from my home to my bug out location, I'm going to go with a folding knife, because in the 3 days or 2 days or 1 day that it's going to take to get there, if that folding knife isn't going to break in 3 days, and I'm going to have some fixed knives out at my bug out location. So, you know, because the weight, you know, definitely want to make sure that you're aware of what your pack weighs, because if you've never hiked before, let me tell you, every ounce counts, and you're going to feel it on your back and your calves if you start racking up weight. Now, that's another thing that we do track for you. We track both weight and volume every time you add a product to your cart. So as you add more and more items, you see your real-time bag weight, and that is not pulled from Amazon. That is pulled by us. That's why we had to purchase every product as well. We put it on a scale here. We removed all the packaging materials. We removed any labels and things that we know that you're not going to pack into your bag. And we got it down to the 10th of an ounce, actually less than that, a fifth of an ounce. So
nice.
It's very, very accurate. And another thing is when you get to the end and the backpack is at the end, that confuses a lot of people. They're like, well, don't I choose a backpack right away? No, you got to know what's going into it before you choose it. We track volume for you on every single product. So at the end, we know what size bag will actually fit the contents of that gear. So then you choose a bag based on the gear that you've chosen.
See, that's just a brilliant idea. I've just got to say, because I mean, I've seen a lot of people make that exact same mistake. Oh, I've got this knife, and oh, I've got this canteen, and all this stuff. They just added everything up. Oh, crap, now I can't lift my bag up.
Yeah.
That's just not, that's not a service. I'm not sure if I've ever actually seen that particular service on one of the other pre-made sites before. So kudos on that one.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask, this seems to really be your field of expertise. How many bug out bags do you have, like, ready for your own personal use?
Oh my God.
Well, right now I have, well, I guess if you count all the eBug out stuff I have, you know, that downstairs, I mean, well, what, 20 right there that I could just pack up quick. But as far as outside of eBug out, what have I personally done? I've packed about 10 bug out bags myself. And you know, I don't like to call myself an expert because I never agree with, you know, being a self-proclaimed expert, but I will tell you that I have learned a lot with every single bag that I've created. The first one was atrocious. Okay. I had exactly what we started talking about in the beginning of this conversation with the key loops and the wire saw. A lot of my gear was stuff like that. And I had bought it from a local Walmart or Kmart or something. And I got this bag that was weighs 35 pounds and everything that's in it is going to break within the first time I use it. I made a lot of mistakes, and I think a lot of people out there do. It's actually kind of expected. The learning curve of understanding what's important in a bug out bag, what's going to work in a bug out bag, balancing cost versus, you know, quality. You know, you can spend $4,000 on a tent. Is it necessary? No. Sometimes a $50 tent is plenty good enough for what you're going to use it for. You know, trying to balance that stuff out and really create an interface that presents that to people in a way that says, here's our personal experience. We've made a lot of mistakes along the way, but I'll give you a little bit of background. So I've created about 10 bug out bags myself. I've done some hiking, and then two other members of eBugOut have hiked the entire Appalachian Trail. So they've got a lot of experience, the entire trail. So 2,162 miles, I think it is, Georgia to Maine. So they've hiked the entire thing. They're brothers. They did it in a series of three different years, went about 3 months at a time. So it took them a total of, you know, concurrently 9 months or whatever. And they knocked it out. And, you know, they learned a lot along the way, too, about the pack structuring, whether you'd go with an internal frame or an external frame or what water filters you work. So a lot of products that we actually recommend was recommended based on their expertise because they carried these products on the trail. They know what works and what doesn't work and what's going to break out in the field. So if this gear lasts on the Appalachian Trail, it's going to last for a bug out bag adventure.
Oh yeah. That's a lot more. I noticed with a lot of people that I talk to about bug out bags, there's that initial sort of paralysis analysis where they'll research and they'll look at stuff, but then they won't ever do anything. So I like that your site has reviews on everything. It's tested gear. You recommend only the stuff that you've tested for those choices. So I think that speeds that up a lot. And it so some people, you know, you, me, we're gonna constantly upgrade our gear and see what works and try new stuff. Some people just want to know that the gear they're getting is good. And it may just sit there, you know, it may be their insurance policy, which is okay. I mean, I prefer people to try everything, cause you never know when something is going to be crap. I mean, even things that should be good, you know, you may get like a bad, you know, bad production run or something.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I like what you're doing there with that, that everything is reviewed, everything's tested. And you can, you know, remove some of that paralysis analysis from people there.
Yep. Well, we've had a few people reach out that are seasoned preppers, and they don't like the site because they say, well, you know, I really wanted this knife in my bug out bag, you know, and then they give me a specific model number, and I, you know, I respectfully, you know, respond back to them and say, and, you know, basically say, hey, you know, I can't please everyone with a tool like this. This tool is more targeted towards beginners or people that the gaps in their gear. It's not so if you know the exact knife you want, eBugOut doesn't really provide a ton of service to you. You know, this is more for people that are a little bit lost. Now what I will say what eBugOut is great for people that are seasoned preppers is eBugOut is a great tool for you to share with other people and get them into it. Because I think we can all agree that we've been there where you get your mother, dad, sister, whatever involved, and they say, yeah, all right, so what's my first step? Create a bug out bag. And they say, okay, well, how do I do that? Well, just go online and read some articles. You know, there's 1,000 articles on it, and they get online. Yeah. And the first thing they read is, you need a lantern. You need this. You need this. And, you know, some places are recommending things that are like, could only be used in a bug in, like a lantern with kerosene. You're not going to carry that in a bag. Who recommends
that? No, God, no.
Okay. but there's out there. With bags. Right, it's out there, and people are confused and they're overwhelmed. And immediately, as soon as you convert them from interest to now I have to do work, they drop off. They go, nope, no, 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 it's not worth my time. You know, I'm not going to do it. eBugOut is a great way to say, go to this interface, start picking out things that you like. Even if the even if you're against eBugout and you don't want them to buy from eBugout, tell them not to. I don't care. Use our service literally for a service. Have them go and create a cart and send it to you so that you get an understanding of what gear you can recommend based on the gear they selected on eBugout, so that you can say, all right, well, they obviously prefer a plastic water bottle. I don't agree with your choice of a Nalgene. Now, I don't know why you wouldn't, because Nalgenes are unbelievable, but let's say that you just have a problem with certain gear choices in eBugout. It's still here. It's still free to use. People can create a cart, send it to people, share it back and forth. Use it for whatever you want, you know, you want to. I mean, the bandwidth cost on our end for you using it that way is not that high. And honestly, if it means that somebody else out there is going to be prepared on my dime and you're not going to buy from me, I'm okay with that, because at the end of the day, you have a bug out bag, I have a bug out bag. You're not going to try to shoot me for my bug out bag.
Exactly. Oh. Yeah, that's good. So, moving away from this site sort of into like some just bug out bag philosophy, you know, because we're all gear whores here, really. So, in your building, what you like, are you a military style bag or a civilian hiker style guy?
You know, I kind of go back and forth. I love what you can do with the customizations on the military bags and the tactical bags. Like I said, it really depends on what you're trying to do. Now, you know, the military style bags, you're looking at adding an extra pound and a half just for the webbing. So you're adding weight. Yeah. And if you're not going to take advantage of all those hooks and loops and things to hang on your bag, it would be very, very irresponsible of you to purchase a tactical bag, because usually they cost more and they weigh more. And if you're not taking advantage of the major benefit of them, it doesn't make sense for you to get them. So, you know, it really comes down to personal preference. If you're extremely conscious of weight, you're not going to want a tactical bag. Because it's just extra weight. That being said, you know, if you're the type of person in your bug out plans, you're planning on, you know, you're going to have an AR-15 on your side, a tactical bag would be really nice to hang some mags off of, to hang any accessories else you need off of, flashlights, whatever you need to get to really fast, and you buy really waterproof gear and you have a specific purpose of things that need to hang on the outside of your bag, tactical's great. You know, if you're the type of person that's going to, you know, have a rain fly over your pack and you're just going to be trying to, you know, hike 20 miles in a day, a tactical bag is not going to be the best choice for you. If you're the type of person that has a Jeep and your bug out bag plan is to get from A to B in a Jeep, whether you have to go off-road or not, maybe you want to go with a duffel bag. Like, maybe that's the best option for you. Every duffel bag that we put on the site as well does have hiking straps on it. So if, you know, worst case scenario, your Jeep breaks down and you do have to hike with it, it does have hiking packs on it, so you don't have to throw it over your neck or anything. You can actually hike with it. Now, you know, you have to understand that a duffel bag is never going to be as comfortable as a tactical or hiking bag, but you can get the job done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice touch on the straps there. Yeah.
Yeah. I have always, so my first bug out bag, well, my first one was a backpack, just a shitty, like, eSport backpack. And, you know, at the time, it was better than nothing. Then I moved up to a large Alice pack, and I used that for a couple years, which those things are huge. I mean, you could pack so much gear in there. But the flip side of that is you end up with a, you know, 40, 50 pound bag and you're struggling. So I've not, and then I went to a Marpart Marine pack. That is a zippered one, which I don't know how I feel about the zippers. And I just shared a video on my Facebook fan page a little while ago. I'm super in love with the Kifaru bags, and if I could ever justify the expense, I would. Those things are amazing. The EMR2, which, once again, you're taking everything, including the kitchen sink, in those.
Mm-hmm.
But man, do they look pretty!
Yeah. As far as my personal bag that I chose out of eBugout, I don't know why Kelty just appeals to me in a certain way. I don't know what it is about it. I like the way it aesthetically looks. I like the way it feels.
Yeah.
It just speaks to me. I mean, I don't know, you know, it's comfortable and it just works well for me. I'm kind of a stockier guy. Some of the other backpacks are harder for me to get on and they don't have the adjustments that I want. Kelty has worked really good for me. So, I mean, that if you were wondering what I kind of lean towards for my personal experience, you know, I'm kind of Kelty. Now, the people that I had mentioned in eBugOut that had hiked the entire Appalachian Trail, they are definitely pro Osprey. You know, they will, you know, give you a 2-hour conversation of why Osprey is awesome and over Kelty. So, you know, it really comes down to personal preference. There is no necessarily perfect answer or right answer. Or
right.
Whatever. I mean, and that's the kind of the whole fundamental philosophy of what we are here at eBugOut. We want to give you choice. That's what we're about, giving you choice. That we know there's no perfect bug-out bag, and we accept that, and that's why we're giving you choices in every category.
Okay. You know, and speaking of those choices, if you don't mind, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about, you know, certain things in there, like some of the essentials, like, for example, fire starting. Tell me about the stuff that you have, your choices for, like, fire starting.
Okay, yeah. So under the fire category, the fire umbrella, we have lighters, matches, flints, and fuel. So we require each one of those. Now, when I say require, I mean we track it in the interface and we really encourage you to have it. You can go on eBugOut and you can purchase a single knife and check out. Don't think you have to create an entire bag. But as far as the categories we track, we have lighters, which, a Bic lighter, Jeep, the Med lighters, that comes down to personal preference a lot too. They're all very reliable. Matches, we have several different options in there. We have everything from windproof, waterproof, we have, actually most of them are windproof and waterproof. Some of them are just waterproof. But the stormproof matches are incredible. If you're into survival and you've never lit a stormproof match, oh, it's going to be like just Christmas for you. Okay. Spend the $8 at your, either, you know, you can get them at Walmart. If you really don't want to buy from our site, you can get them at Walmart, UCO. Some Walmarts don't carry them. Some do. But you know, you light up that thing and it's just incredible. You can blow as hard as you possibly can. You cannot get that flame to go out. It's just incredible. As far as flints, for lack of a better term, the fire starters, the flint steels or fire steels, we have Gerber, we have Grizzly, we have the Blast Match, and then we have the Lightning Strike Fire Starter. And actually, I'm kind of glad you brought me here because I wanted to mention that product. Out of all the products on eBugOut, I would say that one of my favorite out of all of these is the Lightning Strike Fire Starter. It is very expensive in comparison to the others, but I wish that there was a way to capture on film the way it is in person. I've tried. You just can't. When you see it in person, you're just like, holy cow, you can't even compare that product to the others. It's just, you know, it's a $63 fire starter or flint steel. Yeah. So it's very expensive. Okay. But when you use it, it was manufactured by a Boy Scout master and his son. And that's why the cost is high, because it's made right here in the U.S. He did it basically kind of out of his garage, so he has a high manufacturing cost. But it's just insane. It's got a tubular design, which is brilliant for fire starting, because the first thing I've seen, we've set up at several gun shows and different shows for prepping and survival. And I put together this little safety tray that has all these fire starters on it. And I tell people to come up and try them. And for a while there, we didn't have the Lightning Strike Fire Starter, okay? And people would come up and they would try the Gerber Fire Starter, the Grizzly, or even the Blast Match. And I would say 9 out of 10 adults couldn't even get a spark off of them because they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't understand leverage. They didn't understand whatever. And that's why it's very important that when you purchase a bug-out bag and you get quality stuff, you understand how to use it too. That's just as important as having quality gear. But the Lightning Strike Fire Starter, when we added that to the display, I had 5-year-old kids coming up, grabbing it and lighting cotton balls on fire right on the table. You know, it was a lot of fun, but I mean, it is an incredible product. And the tubular design has a backstop on it. So when you do your striking, you'll never hit your tinder with the striker, which is, it's so incredible for especially for people who haven't used these before. Definitely check that out. If you don't have the money to buy it, the Blast Match, the Grizzly, and the Gerber are all exceptional products too. This is a category where we purchased over 25 different fire steels and eliminated literally 21 of them because they just couldn't compete with these ones. They can't. The Gerber, probably one of the best Christmas presents you can get for somebody this holiday season. You know, it's a $9 fire starter, and anybody that's into survival is going to light up like a Christmas tree when they open that gift. It's an extremely simple gift, but it's anybody that's into survival, every time they see one, they just, you know, they just smile. So that's a good thing. And then under fuel, we recommend that you have some type of fire starting fuel for adverse conditions. It's raining, it's wet, you know, you just can't get a fire going. It's in really adverse circumstances, it's important to have some type of fire assistance. We have Weber fire starter cubes, which are actually slightly inflated on the site right now. They're around $6, they're usually around $3. Espit fire cubes around $7, and then the UST wet fire tinder around $8. All of those work exceptionally well. They burn, you know, 10, 12 minutes. So, you know, you can easily get a fire going even in wet conditions with those. So we do recommend that as well. So we try to be very redundant in the fire category because a fire is extremely important, and we know that. So that's why we have lighters, matches, and flints, which is three different ways to get a fire started.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. I actually pulled up images of this, of the lightning strike, and it looks amazing.
Yeah, just to look at it, I would have never guessed in a million years with that that's what that's for. At a glance, it looks like a fat ink pen.
Now, you know what, I would feel a little bit bad if I didn't mention one of the major benefits of that. It is very expensive. That middle piece that you see in there, that's anodized aluminum, and that's, you know, a fair amount of the cost there. If you can see in the picture, I don't know if you can see or not, there's a set screw in there. So you can purchase, in the future, you can purchase separate flint rods and just replace the rod. You don't have to get a brand new one every time it runs out. So that's, you know.
Okay.
So right. That holder lasts forever.
Right, exactly. So that helps people justify it a little bit. If you know you're going to be using this thing a lot, it's worth the upfront cost, and that helps people justify it a little bit because, you know, if you know you're going to be burning through them, you'll eventually make your cost up by getting a quality thing like that.
Yeah, and then just I've you know, sourced the price of just buying ferrocerium rods from, like, supply places and stuff.
Yeah.
Replacements would be, like, just pennies, basically. I mean –
right.
You can get a fat ferrocerium rod with no handle, with, you know, just a plain rod for super cheap.
And so. That's one thing I should mention as well is when we did all this testing, you know, we found that it's not the rod. The rod doesn't matter. The rod is pretty much the same across all the products. What matters is the striking mechanism, getting the right force and getting that nice solid edge against that rod to create enough friction to create the iron shavings that spontaneously combust. That is the key. So I could take a rod on the product that we eliminated from eBugOut and take the Striker from the Bear Grylls and get the same spark off of that rod as I can off of the other one. The Striker is the key there. So it's just a little pro tip to just kind of keep in mind. If you come across a rod in a survival situation, don't think, oh, well, I know that rod's crap. No, the rods are pretty much all the same. It really comes down to the striking device.
That's one of the things where I agree with Dave Canterbury. I try to get my knives to be high carbon steel with a 90 degree hardened back spine to it. They will throw a good spike, good sparks. So that's one of the things I look for in a good knife is that 90 degree sharp angle on the spine.
Mm-hmm.
Moras do a pretty good job, you know, because no one wants to don't ever. For people listening, don't ever use the blade of your knife. Always use the back spine. And if you have a good 90-degree spine, then you'll get decent sparks. Because a lot of times, like you said, those the scrapers that come with them, like if you get the cheap one from Walmart, the scraper's garbage. I mean, really, when you buy it, just throw it away because you're not going to do anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well,
Exactly.
Now, this has been really great. You've also introduced me to something I've never seen before with that lightning strike. Now, we've got our fire started.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's time to start cooking. So what kind of, like, cooking gear, stove setups, anything like that you got to offer?
Okay, yeah. So under the stoves category, there's a few different ones that we have. We have both gas-powered and wood, you know, that you can get one going. So like the crucible stoves where you actually take and actually feed, create a fire inside of this and then put your pot on top of it. We have that. And then we also do have the propane method. The isobutane, I believe it's called, where you screw on a top onto this. They're very inexpensive. Turn your gas on. They work kind of like a, you know, a propane sunflower heater for an ice shack, but on a much smaller scale, basically the same thing. They throw a flame, you put your cook pot on top, and, you know, it's extremely convenient if you need to get a fire going immediately. So I actually, I like both. You know, if your bug out plan is to spend 3 days in the woods getting from A to B, I would recommend the propane. The propane is going to last you well over 3 days. It's an immediate solution. You know, if you need a more long-term solution where you know that, you know, once you run out of propane, you're done, that's where the other stoves come in, is, you know, they're never, pretty much theoretically never deteriorate because they're made out of, you know, metal. Some of them are made out of titanium. They're not going to go bad. You just keep feeding wood into it and the flames rise and then you're good to go. As far as the cook pots themselves, we have, my favorite in that category is by far the Tokes Titanium. It's a very, very large pot. You could cook enough food in there for a whole family. And it's extremely light. It's honestly just an amazing product. We like I said, we've set up at these gun shows and stuff, and that's a product I love to show to people. I show them it, and then I put it away in the little orange canvas thing that it comes in, and then I hand it to them, and they go, "Whoa, this is like a piece of paper." And I go, "Yeah, that's titanium." you're going to pay for it, but it's awesome. You know, anything that you can get that titanium over steel, you know, do it. Stainless steel versus titanium. Titanium will always win as far as weight, but it is more costly. So if you're on a budget, you know, you can get by with the stainless steel products. We have a few different ones that are really awesome on our site. I've used them camping. I've used them different outdoor treks that we've done. They all work really well. But, you know, if you're, like I said, if you're concerned with weight and you have the extra, you know, $20, $30 laying around to upgrade, I highly recommend going the titanium route.
Yeah, I've got... I think the stainless steel solo pot, and it does pretty good. Well, so that's one of them. I've got the power pot. I picked that up at a show a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. It's a neat novelty. You know, you're not really like, they market it as you can charge your cell phone. You're not. I think I've ran it for an hour for a test before and got maybe 10%. So. Emergency, like to send a text or something, probably. So it's neat. It's a novelty.
Yeah. Yeah, and we do have the power pot on the website. It looks like it's sold out right now, but it is under accessories power for those type of people that just, you know, they just can't go without it. It is there.
Okay.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I have it, I use it, and you know, it was one of those things where I didn't get a review copy. Like I plunked down my cash and bought it, and I don't regret it. So
mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the power pot would become very useful, especially in the winter. I live in Wisconsin, so we get really frigid winters up here. If you got to boil water, you know, to drink it, having that power pot it's going to generate an enormous amount of electricity in the winter because it deals with the difference in temperature. That's how it creates electricity. So if you have,
right,
you know, frigid cold on the outside and you're boiling and you're heating the, you know, the underneath of it, you're going to create a ton of power that way. You know, in the summer months, it's not as potent, but you can still get by.
Right.
We also have, this was a recommendation actually by Scott over at Practical Preppers, which is awesome. The RAV Power Solar Charger. It's a 15-watt solar panel that you can hang off with carabiner clips off of the back of your bag and create electricity while you're hiking. And it works exceptionally well. It's very lightweight. It seems to be very durable. We've taken it on several trips and, you know, and haven't had a problem with it so far. It does. Also, there's also a battery that you can hook up to it to charge it and then hook your cell phone up to that later on to actually charge it or whatever other devices. So that's really cool. And I couldn't believe how inexpensive it actually was. It's a, you know, it's a 15-watt three-tiered solar panel for $48. I mean, that's
– Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's extremely reasonable in my eyes. You know, and it's got two output USB ports, so you can actually put your cell phone inside of your bag, hooked up to this thing, and then hook it off the back of your bag, and your cell phone's charging while you're hiking.
I think you talked me into that. Like, I might have to give that a try. I've got the Solio charger. I don't know if you've seen it. It splits open kind of like a flower, and it has three little solar panels, and it'll charge a cell phone. That's like $100, and it's like pretty much palm sized. I mean, granted, it does do a good job. Like if you leave it out in the sun all day on a sunny day, you'll get, you know, a battery charge. So, and you can carry it out hiking with you fully charged, because you can plug it into the computer or whatever and charge it. So you go out with a full charge, you charge it, you know, through the day. So it's a neat little product, but for $48, I think I could get the other one.
Oh, definitely.
Right. Yeah. And I took this product outside, and set down a 6x6, and then put the, you know, kind of tried to make it sort of 90 degrees to the sun. I wasn't too concerned with it. I left it out there for 3.5 hours, and it charged my iPad from 0 to 100 in 3.5 hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it is fairly, you know, efficient. A cell phone took about 1 hour and 45 minutes from 0 to 100. So it's,
wow.
It's pretty quick. Yeah. It's very useful.
Yeah. I've added that to my Christmas list there.
Awesome. All right.
So what about shelter? What do you like, and what do you have on eBug Out?
So under the shelter category, you know, we have tents, we have tarps, we have hammocks. You know, that's another thing. If you're very weight conscious, I know that some people out there are, you're going to want to go with nothing but a tarp. Now, I don't, and I know my fiance wouldn't. She would absolutely say, you are crazy if you think that I'm going to sleep on the ground. So, you know, getting a tent is good for, you know, maybe family or couples that, you know, where somebody just will not sleep on the bare ground. That's a good option. Or a couple of hammocks. I can't believe how light hammocks are. They are not a winter option. Just so you know, you will freeze to death in a hammock in the winter. Don't plan on using those in the winter, but tents are a great option. You can use them both summer and winter. We have sleeping bags in those categories, and they go all the way down to 0 degrees. We have a Kelty down 0 degree bag. Now, that's a real down bag, so it gets up there in cost. It's a $270 sleeping bag. Now, you don't have to do that. You can get the synthetic for $63, that Ledge Sports. It comes down to personal preference. I mean, I personally would go with the synthetic, but I know that some people are just very adamant about going with real down. I'm not that picky. I would go with the synthetic myself. I would save the $200 and probably throw that extra $200 into water filters for bartering, is what I would personally do. But personal preference. Sleeping pads. We have some foam pads. We have some inflatable pads. This is one area where I would highly recommend you go with an inflatable pad. Getting a good night's sleep in a survival situation is, you know, it's hard to put a price on now, but I can tell you in a survival situation, you would wish that you went with the inflatable pad. So I always recommend that people go with the inflatable option. It actually looks like that one is down in price right now. The climate insulated sleeping pad is only $58.80 on the site right now. And usually that's right around the $80 to $85 mark. So that's, I don't know if that's a Amazon deal right now, kind of with Cyber Monday sort of week going on, or I don't know, but that's $20 cheaper than it usually is. So, you know, if you're listening to the podcast here in the near future, check that out. That is my favorite pad on eBug Out by far. It's very comfortable. You're sleeping on, literally, 2.5 inches of air, on that pad. So, I mean,
wow.
I can sleep on concrete with that pad. No problem. 550 paracord is part of shelter. 550 paracord should always be in your kit, regardless if you have your shelter covered without it or not. I mean, it has so many utilities, but, if you go with a tarp option and you're going to plan on kind of tying your own tarp between trees and you're going to sleep on the ground because you want to be ultra lightweight, go with more paracord so that you can have more options with how you're going to set up the frame of your tent. There's, you know, countless blog posts out there on how to set up different tents with paracord and just, you know, trees and different things. So there's a lot of different options. We have 550 paracord available in 20-foot, 50-foot, 100-foot, and 250-foot rolls. Then we have duct tape as well in shelter. Can't go wrong with duct tape. It's always useful. So that's another thing. So that kind of that covers our shelter. So under cover, you have, you know, tents, hammocks, tarps. You choose one of those. Under sleeping bags, you choose a sleeping bag, sleeping pad, 550 paracord, and duct tape. And then you're set for shelter.
So normally I never do this, but I've got to disagree with you. I'm a big hammock guy. And I totally believe that a hammock can be a four-season shelter option. Just as a suggestion, so for your viewing pleasure, check out a YouTube channel called Shug Murray. I'll send you an email. It's this crazy guy from Maine. He's from up north. He's from one of you northern people somewhere. And he's took his hammock down to, I think, negative 30 degrees. So, I mean, I've taken my hammock down to the low 20s, which, you know, for us southern boys, that's freaking cold. So I would say the main thing, like, if you're going to be a hammock person in the winter, depending on where you're at, like in Wisconsin, you guys get negative probably 20, right? On the coldest, yeah.
About negative 20 as far as temp. Wind chill gets way lower than that, but, you know, as far as temperature, about negative 20 is the lowest we get, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, with that, you got to kind of go the extreme, so you're probably going to want, like, not only, like you said, a closed-cell mattress or an inflatable mattress beneath you, but you're also going to need an underquilt, which, if you can get one made from down, better, you know, like you said, artificial down, that works just as well, because when you sleep on a hammock, if your insulation is beneath you like that, if you're sitting on it, you're going to press it, and the wind chill gets you, and then you'll just freeze, which is why normally it doesn't make a good one. The underquilt will solve that. And then there's a trick I've seen some people do where they'll have a sleeping bag in their hammock, but then they'll take another sleeping bag, slightly bigger, and they'll zip it up, but then they'll force the zipper at the bottom apart, and they'll slide their hammock in it. So there's a sleeping bag on the outside, like I said, you know, for the compression issues, and a sleeping bag on the inside. And then with that, I mean, they're getting down to like negative 30 degrees. So, my back loves a hammock. I'm actually in my Treklite hammock right now podcasting.
Yeah, it's his bed, it's his couch.
Yeah. I'm such an enthusiastic hammock guy. I had to be like, well, you can take it to winter. But, you know, so one of the main reasons that I like a hammock is, you know, like you said, is light. It's light and it's tiny, and you can carry your shelter, you know, in almost no space, in a pocket almost, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you're going to do winter, you're going to have to increase it. An underquilt is going to take up space, an overquilt, because you can skip out the sleeping bag and just get an overquilt to cover you. But yeah, it's going to cost extra. It's going to take up extra weight, if that's what you want to do. So I just, for my own personal need, I had to kind of disagree a little bit, but everything else, I mean, what you said was amazing.
I appreciate that. I know that, you know, the people that use eBugOut are a little bit on usually typically the more beginner side, and I don't want anybody to freeze to death on my behalf. You can make it work. There are videos out there, and I highly recommend that if you do go that route, definitely educate yourself and be safe.
Yes. I worked my way up to winter nights in the hammock. I didn't start out, and it did take some. I've actually had really uncomfortable nights in the hammock when I wasn't prepared, when the temperature was not even that low, because with the convection of the air blowing beneath you in the hammock, if you don't have something down there, even in like 60 degree weather, you're going to be really cold. Your backside's just going to whatever's touching
suck,
the hammock,
that'll just suck all the heat out of you.
Yeah. I think we're down to the last question, actually.
Yeah, let's get out of a colder climate and into a warmer one.
Yeah, so I invented a new thing for the shows, Travis, and I'm going to break in this question with you. Okay. So you're going to get stuck on a desert island, and you can take one extra item that's not in your bug out bag. So the stuff that you normally have in there, whatever you pack, what are you going to take besides that?
Oh, interesting. That is an interesting question. Yeah. Well, okay. So let me ask you, on the island, are you bringing friends and family, or are you by yourself?
Let's say you're by yourself.
I'd probably want a picture of my fiance to keep me safe. Aww.
You definitely won brownie points with her.
Hey, sanity's important. I always recommend putting something in your bug out bag that's going to keep your mind distracted or entertained or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, all that gear is not going to do a damn bit of good if you just snap out one day and fashion yourself a diaper made out of poison ivy and start wearing it like a tiara and singing that you're king of the squid.
I was just thinking
that, you know, if I was stuck on that island and I had a volleyball, it would look slightly less insane if I duct taped a picture of my fiance to the volleyball and then called it my girlfriend, you know? It looks slightly less crazy than Tom Hanks in Castaway, you know, with just the blood.
Did you see that show that was on TV for a while? I mean, it may still be on. I only watched it. It was called The Last Man on Earth. You know, I like prepper fiction as well, so I watched the first couple episodes of that. And this guy thought he was the last guy, at least in America. So he did. He had volleyballs and tennis balls and golf balls. They're all painted and dressed up. And the show actually turned out to be crap. You know, I was trying to watch it from like a review standpoint. It had some funny moments, but then I was like, well, whatever. It sucked. that was a good answer though. I totally derailed the interview. Whatever. But yeah, it was good having you on, Travis. So people want to find you, they can go to ebugout.com. And you have a blog there too, right? Where you have reviews and talk about stuff?
Yeah, we have a blog, and then we also have, you know, our Contact Us page where you can fill out, you know, your name, email address, and then whatever comments you have. And we try to be very quick to get back with you. You know, usually we're definitely within 24 hours usually. At the latest, so, and we do take feedback very, very seriously. So, you know, if you have some recommendations on things that you think that we may have overlooked, or, you know, you just want to say, you know, awesome site, we always appreciate any feedback that we get from the community.
Awesome. And I will definitely be sending newbies to your website over a lot of the pre-made kits. If someone just wants to be prepared and just don't give a shit at all. I mean, maybe that's an insurance, but I'd rather send them to eBug Out where they're going to get quality kit that they can rely on over, you know, four packs of water and breakable chainsaws and just crap.
Right, exactly. Yeah, my dad has a friend that does a lot of business. He does a lot of international travel and stuff, and so he's always gone, and he's into this kind of stuff, and we talk quite often, and, you know, he says, you know, I don't like the way things are headed, and you know, I really want to be prepared. And so I helped him create a bug out bag because he just refuses to do the research. So I actually helped him create a bug out bag on eBug Out. And basically then we got one of those big vacuum sealed bags, and we literally just compressed it down and threw it in his closet just like that. So it's, you know, airtight and everything. It's good to go forever, basically. So yeah, it doesn't hurt to have too many. You know, I like to carry a bug out bag in my car. We have, me and my fiance, we both have our cars individually. So there's one in her trunk, there's one in my trunk, and then we have a couple, you know, sitting around the house. Some I prefer more than others, but, you know, they're sitting there, and, you know, they're just waiting for a rainy day, I guess. So, and it just brings certain security to it. You know, it's nice having that security. I like knowing that, you know, if something does happen, I can handle the situation much more effectively than if I had a problem.